Okay, so the question is about the mitzvah of Tavach. What's the deal with that? Perhaps a the apparent distinction between what's actually done and what the halacha seems to indicate. Perhaps. So we'll see what happens. So it's like this. This is in Ram Deos Vav Zayin. Haroa chaveru shechata, aholich shuholich b'derech lo tova. Right? If you see your friend sinning or going in a bad path, mitzvah lachzir l'mutav. It's a mitzvah to bring him back to the good. V'lohodiyo shuchote l'atzmo. Ma'aseh wrong. And to tell him that he's sinning on himself through his bad actions. I guess like he's harming himself. Sh'nemar achiyach t'chiv samisecha. Okay. So it's like to let him know let him know that these are bad things and he's harming himself. Whether it's between like interpersonal I'm sorry. I skipped, I'm gonna read back halacha. Okay, kisha earlier halacha. Because there's two kinds of tochacha. One is when it's against between you and him, and one is between him and God. So kshiyachta ish leish leis to menav yishta. If someone like sins against you, don't hate him and be quiet. Moshe nemar v'rishon b'ladi b'rav shalom imamnon le'merav yatov gesana yavshalom is amnon. So Avshalom didn't talk to Amnon. It's Amnon, whatever. Ella mitzvah of lo dio v'lomar lo lama asisa li kafakach. Why did you do that to me? V'lama chatasa li b'dar plani. Why did you do this so and so thing? Shemar chiyachtiris emisecha v'mchazur b'kesh menu limchol lo tzorach limchol. And if then he so he asks for a mechila, then you have to. Okay, so that's when if it's between he does something to you. And then the next halacha says, also if he, if you see him sinning, then you also have a mitzvah to tell him that he's harming himself. Then he says, whether it's interpersonal or even God, you have to do it in private. Nachas, and you have to do it quietly, pleasantly. V'lashon racha, soft speech. V'yadiu she'ina umer lo el l'tovaso u'lavil l'chayel maba. You're only trying to benefit him to bring to olam haba. Okay, you're looking out for his best interests. Im kibul menemutov, if he accepts it, great. V'im lav yechiyach pam shniya v'shlishas, a second time, a third time. V'chein tamid chayev lochiyach.
Yo.
Constantly. Ad shiokehu hafote. Until the sinner hits you. V'yomar lo eini shomea. Listen, I'm not going to listen. Until he hits me. V'chol she'efshar b'yado limchos. V'einu mimacha. And anyone who's capable of preventing him and not doesn't do it. Hu nitzvas b'avon elu. I'm sorry. So you are like grabbed in and all the sins that that you could have stopped. Okay? So you're held responsible for to the extent of the sins that you were able to stop and didn't. It's your fault. You're also like held responsible. Yeah, so that's pretty harsh, right? Pretty serious. Okay. Then he says like this. And then he feels further. Hamachiyach es chaveiro tchila. So, person is rebuking his friend. Lo yidaver lo originally. Lo yidaver lo kasho. So, I'd check the matter.
Yeah, someone
will come in. So, let him come in.
Come in.
Good night. Don't be harsh until you embarrass him. Don't bear sin for him. So I might think that you should rebuke him so that his face changes colors. You can't embarrass him, certainly not. Okay. Then he says, "Bama d'varim, b'dvarim shabein adam chaveiro." Divrei Shemayim and lo chazer ba b'seiser, machlimin osel b'rabim, mefarsim chato, mecharfin osel b'fanav, mevazin and mekalim ad yasul mutav. Kama shasu kol yehan v'yim leisra. That's pretty serious.
Davening or something?
What?
Like
davening,
let's
say? Davening? I guess so.
What about the first...
He's in the
first name where he says that you shouldn't do it,
yeah, right. I think he says that's at first, but if it doesn't work, then you should, you should try to get him the earlier way. But Sam, you missed the last part. He says, if you could prevent the person from sinning and you don't, then you're held responsible for that sin. To the degree that you were able to, insofar as you were able to stop it.
That's weird.
Yeah, I think so. It seems like it's pretty, look, you definitely try to do it. It seems like you're responsible for a person. I guess it's like part of the Kol Yisrael Rebbe, insofar as you're able to stop a person and to prevent the person and to help him, you have to help him. But to the degree that, I guess you have to know how to do it, though. I think that's like, once a rabbi says something, we don't really know how to do it nowadays. It's a tricky thing to do. I don't know if you never know how to do it, but you see the way to do it. It seems like his Fermain approach, though, is it should be clearly, there's a danger of it being like you're telling him what to do, or you are coming off as like being an authority over him. It's like the idea you're trying to convey to him, it's like for his benefit. For his benefit, to bring him to Omava, he's harming himself. Like it would somehow come off as that. Like you're not preaching to him as telling him some sort of like a subtle balance there that it's like you're honestly interested in his best interest as opposed to like you're trying to control him or you want, you have your own issues and you're taking them out on him. That seems to be like it's going to come off that, But if I guess you could convey that you want to help him, I guess that's, But he says, until the guy says, I'm not, once he hits you, it's like, listen, I'm not listening. Then, once he tells you off, I guess, then,
So if he's gonna tell you off, but it sounds like it's gonna be a pretty intense conversation.
He's gonna
hit you.
Yeah, right. It says he keep doing it until
he
gets to that point. Right. How benachas will be. I know. Well, he says you start benachas. Just right. You keep doing it. So it's gonna end up being even benachas the more times you do it. It just comes to a point, stop, get off my case.
Right, I'm saying, how can we say that we don't know how to do it Rome saying do it to the point where he's...
Yeah, I guess at that point, I guess.
I mean, it's kind of like, we don't know how to do it. It's going to get to that point before it's possible at that point.
Right, that's true. I guess that's already at the end. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. But, I guess you have to somehow... we in general aren't into, pushing guys into, The guy has, it's like kind of an attitude we often take. It's like the guy is pretty well. He's his own person. And can't force the guy to do stuff. There's only so much you can do. You give him knowledge, you give him the opportunities, you can talk to him. But ultimately, what are you going to do? The person lives his own life. And so. It would seem to be, it's like, if you really think you could help him, though, then you have to, for sure, The question, though, is how exactly, if you don't think you could. That's the question. Ultimately, it comes down to you have to assess. If you think maybe you could help him, I guess you also should. But, there is something, there is such a thing as if you push too hard, then it could backfire, but at the same time, they have to know the situation. There's such a thing also if you ignore him. Sometimes a person is afraid of a confrontation, afraid of discomfort, and therefore doesn't do these things, So that's not good. Like an idea of you don't want to rock the boat kind of thing. Sometimes you say you gotta rock the boat. Sometimes the boat needs to be rocked. Right, in fact, doesn't Noam have that? It's one of the 24 things. The person sees his son going off of the derech and doesn't stop him.
Oh, yeah.
So,
from is that it seems like you specifically do push him until it backfires. You know?
Yeah, right.
Don't worry about it. It's like, okay, that's where we know we stop.
Because the assumption is, like, he's already on a bad path. Like, you can't really...
Right, that's the question, is what does backfire mean? The only thing is, you close off paths later. Like, I guess it's a little tricky, you know? Not here. Oh, my fans are true, maybe? But yeah. This is like this. Esm arbo dvarim ma'akvin es ha'tshuva. Okay, I told you about the ma'akvin tshuva. Arbo amehim avon gadol ve'osa echad me'er ba'asan ein ha'kosh v'ruch ma'asib yadol asos tshuva l'fi gadol chata. Four of them are so great that Hashem doesn't, like, kind of doesn't allow you to do tshuva because it's terrible chay. Ve'ilohin ha'machti es ha'rabim. Right? After the Chalav on Zem Akiv is a Rabbi in Lassos Mitzvah, you prevent the Rabbi doing a Mitzvah. The Amate Chaveru Miderach Tobol Derach Rach, Gamesis Mediach. Terrible. The Roa Beno Betarbus Ra. You see your son on a bad path. Like that. The Enom Amacha Biado. Don't stop him. Hol Beno Berashuso. Since in your shows, Ilum Michuba. Ilum Michuba, if you stop him. If you, you know, object, Chaya Porish, V'nimtza Kamachti Osa, so it turns out you're really causing him to sin. V'chal Avon Zeh, Kol She'esher B'yada Limchos V'achirim Bein Rabin Bein Yechidim V'lo Micha El Yeniach Osa B'Kishlam. Okay, so anyone who allows someone Yachid Rabin and then to go in their path and it's within your ability to stop it and you don't. Okay, V'homer Echta V'ashu V'chal Zeh Omer Echta V'yayim Yikbar Mechaper. Okay, that's the next one. So these are like top four sins, you know. Someone who allows someone to go on a bad path and he doesn't stop. Right?
Your son.
What? Your yes. Son. But then he says, "V'chol avon zeh kol she'efshar
b'yadam." It
was really b'yadam, I guess. Yeah, it's b'yadam. I guess by your son, you wouldn't want to do it because, like, you know, because you don't want a confrontation, you want peace. But there comes a point where, I guess.
Like there, you know, it's the other because the change.
What?
He has the whole thing. That's why it's the other because he's Roshuso.
Yeah, his brother's Roshuso. So I guess right. That's an example of Roshuso. He has the capacity. Like, right, but I guess in another person, it's not necessarily. You know, you have to work out that it's capable.
Really be other.
Right, but I guess the son, a person doesn't want to do that. He wants basically things to be friendly and calm and whatever. He doesn't want to mess around with his kids or whatever. He doesn't want to. It's going to be a confrontation, it's going to be strict, you will see certain people don't like the discipline, that type of thing, you know? What he's saying is there comes a point where you have to put your foot down, and you have to say no, and it's going to cause repercussions. I mean, I guess you have to be smart about it, though, because, you know, these things do backfire also. I guess you're in your son's bare shoes, so there comes a point, like, he needs you monetarily, he needs you whatever, or maybe certain, like, needs, you have the ability to influence him in a way that's, you know. But, you know, some dads, if you're too tough, then the kid could rebel and it could go the other way also. So I guess it's like, you have to be, these things have to be carefully balanced, so what's the proper way to, you know. But I think he's saying is there is a tendency in a person to just not want confrontation and not want conflict. And therefore, just to kind of, you know, be all mellow about things. But there is such a thing as, no, this is not acceptable. This is, you know, there's such a thing as that. But, I mean, at the same time, I think you have to be sensitive to a person. You know? Sensitive to where a person's at or how a person is, you know? Yeah, it's interesting. I did this thing, thought it was interesting. I didn't tell you about this, right? And Yana on the Inan Ili Mili. I started reading it. No, did I? Oh, I told you the problem, right? What? On Shavuos? Or maybe it's last Shabbos? I read you the problem?
Yeah.
The Marshall, I didn't tell you any idea, though, right?
No. We said it by
Shavuos. Right? Was it? I don't know. It's last Shabbos, maybe?
Yeah.
Right? You guys are all here, or?
I forget the Marshall.
Yeah, but he basically said it's like the king tells the people to do 30 core in his field, and then they only produce 5. Right? Is that familiar to you, or
no?
No, so basically the king says, he says basically going on the part which says, when I into myself, what am I? Right? So he says, this is Hillel talking, but he's saying, I haven't even done 1/1000th of what I'm capable of doing. Right? Sounds harsh. He gives an example. He says, a king tells his servants to plow a field, plant the field, work a field, and he tells them to produce 30 core a year. Okay? 30 core. And then what happens is at the end of the year they only produce 5. 5 core. 1/6 of what they should have, you know. So he basically says to them, what's going on? Told you guys 30 core. He says, well, what do you want us to do? The land you gave us was Ziboras.
Oh, yeah.
Ziboras is like poor colony land. So we worked it. We tried hard. There's nothing we can do. It's not our fault. He said, so too, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We tell the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, listen, you gave us Yetzirah. Yetzirah is too strong, too much for us. We couldn't handle it. And it says, Zachor Kiyafar Kihu Yadla Yetzirah, Zachor Kiyafar Kihu Yadla Yetzirah, something like that. Like, God knows our Yetzirah. So the saying is that if we didn't have the Yetzirah, then we would have been able to do Torah mitzvahs like nothing. They would be like, get this. You gotta get this, which is good land. Then you can just do almost no effort and get great stuff. But now that you give us Yiboros, this is bad land, our Yetzirah. So it's not what he wants to do. He did hard work. So he says, but a person should know, since he has this Yiboros, if you don't do hard work, then you're definitely not going to get anything. Like if you have this, you can kind of get away without working. But if you have Yiboros, with your Yitzhara, if you don't do work hard, then you're going to really come up short. You know, here, at least you could do all your hard work and do, you know, get a 5 or get whatever. But you can't just do nothing. So that's what he says is, because he says, "Kshani la'atzmi ma'ani," mind to myself, what am I? I'm like, even if I try hard, I'm not going to really get the 30. I'm not going to get everything. I just got to, you know, do as much as I could, something like that. But the problem is like, it seems like an unreasonable king. King's putting a demand on people that's unrealistic, 30 core, which is way too much than the thing. So why not just say do 5? And it sounds like it's saying he's like Hashem is telling us to do the Torah. It almost sounds like it's saying it's God's putting an unreasonable demand upon a person. And it's saying, Hillel saying he can't even do 1/1000th of what he could do, it sounds like it's too much. So why is God telling us to do so much if we can't do it? It's not reasonable for us to do it, you know? The whole thing just sounds like, it doesn't sound like a very rational king to do such a thing. Right? You may be wondering why this is relevant.
Maybe it's that there's a different benefit when you have to look at it, as opposed to it being very easy for you to do.
Right.
I can see it, I guess, being... I don't really know how to weigh out one against the other, but I can see... let's say, like, doing one mitzvah with the Sahara there, because I have to work at it to choose specifically against it. I guess I could see it as a different benefit than just kind of not really choosing, but just having it so easy that you just do it. It's kind of natural.
Right, but God could just tell us to do what's reasonable for us to do. And given that we have the Yitzhara, just say, don't tell us to do 30, tell us to do 5.
Right.
Why is he telling us, make it sound like he's putting an unreasonable expectation upon us? That's a good question altogether. What's he talking about? What exactly does he mean you can't do 1,000? It's like, what's...
It goes Hillel.
Yeah, it's Hillel also. And it sounds like a...
Doing 1,000, what are we doing?
I know. So, what are you guys thinking? Okay, so maybe like this. So, I think it's an important point about mitzvahs and about Torah, about how to look at the Torah mitzvahs, which is like this. Is that, like, for instance, the pasuk says, "Ki ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta." No such thing as a tzadik who does the never sins. It's like man's nature, as he says. You know? Everybody says. So why is the Torah... It's like almost like that. This sounds like a similar point. Like, the Torah is almost like an unrealistic, you know, book for us. Man's always going to suck. You know? But I think the idea like this is that you have to understand how to look at the Torah, and the system of the Torah, and the, you know... Which is like this, is that it's not shot that, like, God expects every person, or any person, to be perfect. Okay? You see, the Torah is like 30 core. Which means that, let's take for instance, let's take an example. Let's say, like, Lashon Hara. Let's say you say, like, in general, people can't keep the mitzvahs or Lashon Hara. Okay. They could sometimes, but in general, people are going to trip up. Okay, it's too hard. People talk all the time. It's just like in general. Let's say that's like 30 core. To never talk Lashon Hara is like 30 core. You know, and let's say a person is going to always talk Lashon Hara at least, let's say, once a month. Something, you know, just make a number. Like, a person could control himself, but like things like this happen. You know, so what's the Torah supposed to say? So we're supposed to say, talk Lashon Hara less than once a month, you know, or don't talk it but once a month, because that's our nature, you know. But that's like, the Torah's not going to say that, because it's, even though that might be the expectation, is that a person should try to, should, it would be great if a person could do that, a man's nature is such that you're not going to be able to do more than that, let's say. But the Torah doesn't do that. What the Torah does is it tells that Lashon Hara is wrong, and it's harmful, and it's bad, and you're not allowed to do it, right? And it's also because it is. And in any given instance, you could control yourself, and you could realize that it's wrong, and you're not doing it, right? It's just that based upon, like, so to speak, the statistics of it or whatever, is that man's going to end up failing, man's going to stumble, man's not going to be perfect, you know? But it, not, like, in any case, you can't say, like, look, you can enjoy yourself in any case. And this is, what the Torah is doing is, it's defining for us, like, the ideal of what should man strive towards. This is, what is the proper, what is the good, what is the true path, ideal for man? Called our goal. You know, you should be learning all day long, and you should be doing all the mitzvahs perfectly, never sin. You know, that's what the Torah defines for us, the ideal life, the ideal value system, the ideals, towards which we strive, towards which we should strive. It paints for us a picture of the goal and the objective and where we direct our energies towards. We approach that ideal. So it tells us the 30 core. Even though, first of all, maybe some people could get 30 core. The Torah is not going to sell any person short. Maybe different people have different capacities. Maybe there's a person who could or who could never talk Lashon Hara. What do you tell him to talk Lashon Hara once a month? Maybe there's a person who could. So the Torah does is it tells us the objective towards which a person strives. But a person knows that they don't really reach the goal, ultimately. Even the greatest person still have 1,000 form, 1,000 form. There's a person has a Yitzhara, and there's going to be failures, and there's going to be, missteps, and that's part of life. But all a person could do is strive as best as he could at each moment to try to approximate as best as, as close as he could those ideals. And when the Torah is saying these ideals, it's an ideals. And each person has their own challenges, their own difficulties, their own yitzhara. Different people have different blocks, different fates, different psyches, different challenges. They're just set up differently. So different people have strong yitzhara. People have different psychological issues. Different people have, different challenges. So a person has to do is, you can realize, I have Ziboris. Anyone has Ziboris, because you have Yitzhara. But there are different levels of Ziboris. But what do you do? So you don't beat yourself up that you're not perfect, because no one's perfect. Even no one's not perfect. So what could you do, though? You can never get to a point where you say, now I'm perfect. Because it's unreachable, it's unattainable. So all you can do is the best that you can do. And you have to strive, that's what it says. If you're in your framework, you're not doing the best you can do, then you've got problems. Because ultimately you're not really reaching the 30, and even in your framework you're not really putting in the proper effort. So a person has to do is that they have to realize you can't get all beat up if you're not perfect, because that ideal is something which is not really attainable. It's not an expectation for a person to be perfect. It's an ideal, and the expectation is for you to strive as much as you could, with the knowledge that there are going to be missteps. But you are ultimately not done on the degree to which you work within your life and within your challenges, and you strive as best as you could. And when you make missteps, you try to correct them, and you work. You're working towards the goal, towards the ideal of Kol Tekula and all its perfections and all the But there's a lot of, even through Perkeavos, there are a lot of ideals which you realize here and beyond, they're beyond you. But you can realize them and appreciate them and understand them and make them goals towards which you direct your energies and towards which you strive and direct, So whether that comes to the Midos and Perkeavos or the middle path. Every person has Midos and has weaknesses and has whatever, and you strive towards them. And in Halachas also. People fail. Such a thing as failure. And ultimately, we should all keep Kol Torah Kula, never sin, never astray, never anything. But it's human nature to sin. But it's human nature, it's the challenge of life to work on, to help correct those failures, and to try to overcome them, and to, So, it's an interesting idea, I think, is that this, it just reminded me of that point. It's a person has to... different people, I think that's an important thing, is different people have different things. Different natures. Let's say that Tochacha thing. Let's say a guy is a guy's Baal Tshuva, just becoming from or something, So you could bombard him with what called Darkula in the instant, but it's just not realistic for a guy to be able to do every single thing at the same time. So that has to be, you have to realize his nature, realize where he's coming from, and realize how, there's a proper learning curve. So different people, I could see if you, that's what part of the thing is, in your question about giving Tochacha. There's such a thing as if you push a guy to a point where he's just not reasonable for a person to, a person who's let's say a Baal Tshuva or something like that. You're going to push him and say, you got to do this, 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 and this is that. You can read him the whole list of things he has to do, he's not doing right. It could be to a point where it's his Yetzer Hara, he's not capable of doing that. Maybe theoretically, but it's beyond the person's ability. It's just too much for him. So now the guy could just say, I can't do it. And he just go the other way. You know, so it's like, it's, I think it's a tricky balance. It's like you'd say, look, you have to be mocha. But sometimes if you like, you know, if a guy can know that he has to work within his capacity in baby steps and so to speak work his way towards a goal, if a guy is totally losing it and not trying, then you know, that's one thing. But then there's an idea of a person who's working, you know, and a person who has realistic steps towards trying to attain one's goal. I mean, I think that's the idea, is a person has to work in a realistic approach towards reaching perfection, you know, for us and for other people, you know. It's like there's, you can want to be perfect. It's like that idea, like on Yom Kippur, a person does, you know, does a fake tshuva on every single thing he has wrong with him, you know. Like all of a sudden you feel like on Yom Kippur, like, you know, you do tshuva on 50 things. But like it's impossible. You're supposed to do that, you know. You have to try to pick small things, you know. You can't just become perfected overnight. So that's for us, and I think in terms of this tochacha thing, so I think that's part of the thing is if a person has it, you know, you have to like know a person, be able to talk to a person in a way where they're capable, you know, so far as what's within their capabilities. And their ultimate capabilities might be that they could ultimately become a good tzaddik and be, you know, but not every person's at that point. Some people have ziboras worse than others. You know, a person could realize, listen, I got a tough lot, I'm in a tough situation, and, you know, but I think the point is striving towards in a certain direction. It should be an upward. I don't think any person would say they can't have a direction towards it. You know? So I think the chacham might be is to help a person be going in a proper direction. You know, but that's what it says, like he's going to Tarvas Ra. Could be that's the point. If your son is Yotze the Tarvas Ra. You're going on a bad path, the wrong direction. That's bad. You gotta stop that. Because that's downhill, that's, you know. Then a person's not working. But if a person's on the right direction, to start giving a guy a hard time because he's not learning all day long. Not everybody's capable of doing that. Like, this is the thing. A guy is not everyone's capable of learning all day long. What's the mitzvah? Because we don't rely on that's the ideal. That's an ideal. But is everybody capable of it? No. So what is why tell that to a lesser guy? Because he should know that's an ideal, and the degree to which he could do that, then that's what he should do. You know, so if you could put one guy, you could put in an hour a day, and that's his challenge, and that's he's doing great. Another guy could put in 10 hours a day. And the guy who could put in 10 hours a day, he's selling himself short by doing 8 hours a day. The guy who's doing an hour a day could be, he's doing, you know. So not everyone's capacity to do such a thing. And maybe, look, does it mean the 1 hour that a guy can never do that? I don't know, maybe never say never, but not now. And if you try, then, you know. So I think it's an interesting way to look at the Torah Mitzvah stuff, you know. It's like a person can get bummed out about thinking, it's like, I'm just like not really where I'm supposed to be. You know, because look at all these Torah, look at all these halachos, look at all these ideals, look at all these perfections, and I'm not, you know. So, in a certain sense, yeah, you should look at them as your objectives. And if you feel like you're not going towards them, then you've got a problem. But you have to be realistic about what's, the direction that you're headed. Like, I think Chazal says, you see a Talmud Chacham does a chet, you can be sure to chew that at night, something like that. Like, it's a direction. Chet is always part of life, but it's a direction that a person is going, which is important. You're working towards the proper path, and you know your missteps are followed by tshuva or your attempts at rectifying things, and you know. Yeah. So it's kind of relevant to the discussion, right? A little bit of a, I'm going to say that idea anyways, because I think it's an interesting idea. So it's sort of related to the halacha point. But in the tochacha thing, I think that's part of the thing. It's like, it's important not to project our own levels onto other people. You know? Like, that could be the thing I'm telling for your good. You know, that the Rambam says. It's like, if a person senses like you're trying to make the other guy like you. Like, a guy who's Tom Chacham, who learns all day long, could start rebuking the guy for not learning all day long. That's going to be bad. He's not, the guy's not capable of that. What do you do? Try to make him into you? He's not you. He has to be with him in his challenges and work with him at his level where he's at. and you can't project your level of tzidkus or your, you know, your nature and your emotions and your psyche, and your challenges onto him. He has his own challenges, his own you know, his own lot in life. He may have more worse zibotas than you do, and you got to work, you know, how work with the guy if, and where he's at, and help him be clear that you're trying to help him, not just kind of, you know, project yourself onto him and, you know, something like that. I guess that's a challenge, is to really be understanding of the person. I think that's the nachas, you know. The person has to realize the understanding of him, your mash of him as a person. You recognize his challenges and his things, and but you care about him, and you want what's best for him. Like, that's the main message in the Rambam, you know. It's tabasal v'ilchayel mava, you know. It's out of genuine concern. And I think if you come off as that, you know, it could be, you could be more,
Ziboris
is bad land. A thin land. It's good to know if you learn Sigiz and Baba Kama. Ziboris is bad and this and Idis. Ziboris is bad, it bain this is middle and Idis is good. So this funny thing, it's like it's like a mystery. I can't remember if I resolved it. But you could have the same land with $100 and one of them is Idis, one was Bainus, one was Ziboris. So is he still on, like, what does that mean?
Same area?
No, I don't mean that. It could be too different. Like, I could buy, like, for instance, you owe, when you pay a Baal Chov, forget the rules. There's Baal Chov, like a debtor, you borrow money from someone, there's a Ksuba, and there's a Nezek. Okay, Nezek. I think it goes like Baal Chov, you have to pay Yedis, Nezek, you have to pay Beidinis, and Ksuba, you pay Ziboris. Or something, I forget which one is which, you know? But you owe a person $100, you have three different people, you owe $100. One of them is clear to give them this good land, the other one you give them blindness, the other one you give them zibars. And everything, like, what's the difference? $100, $100. It's a difference, you know. Doesn't it all come down to value? If it's good land, then you'll give less of it, no? You know, like, how does it make sense?
Can you give money?
I forget. I think you could always give money. But I forget. But I think the point is, I don't know, I think it's an economics question, but there is such a thing as something which is more liquid. Things which is like, because it's, there's more people who want it, it's more liquid. But it's not necessarily going to weigh it into the price. There's such a thing as something, two things $100, but one of them is more desirable. I shouldn't be worth more than 100 then? No, no, there's more of a market for something, it's easier to sell. It's two $100 items, and one's easier to sell than the other one. But it doesn't, it's like an intangible difference, it's not factored into the price. It's just better. You'd rather have $100 with this than $100 with that. It's better land, it's easier to work. I don't know, you'd wonder, you'd think, so then shouldn't that be in the price? Doesn't the market ultimately dictate that? If it's easier and better to sell and all that, so take a lesser piece. But I don't know, it seems like there's some intangible thing which isn't factored into the price, but it's just better. It's interesting, but there's a lot of sugyas in Gittin a lot, and I think Rabbi Kama both. Those are three words you got now. It is your, and it's the major, you know. Yeah. Okay. Do you guys have any other questions? Follow up on that? Different question? So, bottom line, punchline, your question is how to act. I don't know. I guess it's a case-by-case type of thing. But
the Rambam makes it seem as though, like, you can't just sit around.
No. Just to sit around and say, listen, I'll just chill out and, like, live my own life, that's definitely bad. And you got to be care about other people.
Some but, evaluation you have to do.
Yes. But there is such a thing as, like, a guy, like I was saying, I can't, I have to try to find the Gemara. But the Gemara says, the Rambam says, no, that's just also. Says like certain people, he says you don't go after them. One second. Yeah, if you got there's somewhere he says is like you can't. Certain people, it's like looks like they're not gonna do Jewa. It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It says, I have to find it again. But basically it says that the Talmud Chacham who's Piresh, someone who was part of Torah, he was Talmud Chacham, and he's separated, and then he's not coming back. It's just given the Pakar Pakar. Once, what?
Like
Asher. Yeah, I guess like Asher. Once he, like, what, Hefker, then he's gone. He's not coming back. It's like, most likely he's not coming back, and you don't try to get him, and that's, you know. What's the idea?
Why is it
looks
like
that? Oh, I think it was like, I think I wanted to say, is the idea was, is like, it's like he saw, I think it's like this, is that it, the person, he saw the truth of the Torah, right? He saw the truth, that's what it's talking about, it's not about. He saw the truth of the Torah, and he broke away from the Torah. Now, the thing is like this, is that emotionally, it's very hard for a person to break away from the Torah. Okay, it's not easy. Socially, guilt, super ego. Just like I've heard this from more of the, at least two people. It's like people who've gone off there. They're saying it's not so easy. You know, it's very hard. Socially, they just feel like everything you know, it's like wrong. You're Russia. You're gonna burn in hell. You're gonna whatever. There's all kinds of religious feelings. Social feelings, the pressures, the friends, the, you know. So there's a lot which keeps a person on there. Now, if a guy had managed to pull that off, despite he knew the truth, and he did that, so his emotions didn't stop him. So apparently he's strongly guided by some counter-emotion to give up the Torah, you know. And even all his emotions basically didn't stop him, right? And the knowledge didn't stop him. You know, he knew the Torah, so it's not like he didn't know a point. He didn't have knowledge. But apparently he had a strong emotion, and the emotion was so strong that he even overcame all his resistances. Now that he's already off the Derech, now forget about it. Now the emotions line up the other way. Now emotionally for him to go back is going to be that much more challenging. It's always changing, totally going on a different path. It's very hard for a person, you know. So now it's like, what are you going to give him? Gave him the idea, the ideas didn't even help him to keep him on the path, you know. Now it's like he's already gone off, so now his emotions are all lined up the other way, you know. Now even those original emotions which got him off the path, and now his social whatever emotions, he's now set up himself an ideal of being, you know, being off the path. And now you can give him an idea, it's just not gonna, it's like mostly it's not gonna work. He's already, he's so entrenched that he was able to pull off that type of a break. Then it's like you see that you're dealing with like the emotions which are beyond, you know, beyond being approached. You know, so how are you going to get him? And he already has knowledge, so he already knows it though. It's not like you can introduce him. The guy who never was from, for instance, or he didn't, never was Talmud Chacham, he never knew anything, it's one thing. You give him knowledge, show him ideas. But this guy's already had ideas and he just went off, so that's it, he's not interested in ideas. So, they think from that Gemara there, it says that there's an assumption like that. So then, for instance, I don't think it would be reasonable to give them to Haha. And the Ram says, I think, certain guys, me and him, because you don't fight with them, because it's called Bahal Yeshua. Because based on Ram, I have to find it. I have to find the sources for this. We looked into this, like. So this thing is no small matter. You see what I'm saying? If you have the capacity to stop a person and you don't, then you really have, you know. I mean, it's tricky. It's tricky and it's challenging and it's hard because our emotions are involved and we don't like confrontations and we don't like this type of thing and it's uncomfortable and all that. But at the same time, there's a responsibility insofar as you can help a person. Yeah, but I guess it could be, look, I don't know if the friend is worth anything. I mean, you gotta try, the more important than the friendship is the real friend. I think a real friend is willing to put the friendship on the line for the sake of helping the guy, you know, in any area. A good friend, you know, you think of it as like someone whose friend is addicted to drugs or something, or alcohol. So you'll basically put him in, you know, bring him forcefully to a rehab center, you know, and he'll hate you for it. He'll be angry at you, he'll be kicking and screaming. But if you're a good friend, then you'll do that. What are you going to say? I'll just not be confrontational? I don't want to confront him. I don't want to, you know. He's harming himself. He'll know eventually that you're doing it to help him. But he's, you know, look, there comes a point where, you know, you can't do it. And if he says, if he hits you, then what are you going to do? Ultimately, if you can't force him, you can't force him. You know? But you go up until that point, and it's uncomfortable, but you have to get across to him that you're doing it because you want to help him. He's got a problem. You're trying to help him as best as you could. And maybe you lose a friend. Maybe you will. Maybe he'll go off the deep end and he'll totally become totally addicted and something, you know. But maybe not. And you got to risk, you know, that's the kind of chance you got to take. But you got to be real. Look, I mean, if you think you're definitely, you know, you got to be reasonable about it, I guess. You have to, you're right. It could be in the long run if you want to get, even if you want to get him clean, the better way is not to just go at him like all forcefully. Could be the better way is to be able to talk to him and be a little less aggressive. You know, so it has to be calculated. But I think it can't just be hands off. Like, if you're calculating that you think this is the best way to get through to him, that's a good idea. You have to be chacham. If you're calculating the best way to get through to him is to be a little bit chilled out, you know, not so on top of him, and you think that's going to work well with his psyche, and you think that the other way it's going to backfire, you know, I mean, you have to be honest about it, but then I'd say, look, that's what are you going to do? Just going to run at him and start screaming at him, and, you know, just not, doesn't do anything. But if you're just doing it because it's you don't want the confrontation and it's uncomfortable and it's hard and you'd rather not do it, then that's the problem, you know. Now, it's not so easy to figure these things out, whether it's your emotions or whatever, but I guess you got to try to use your mind to come up with the best possible route, best thing you can do. And this is what you got to know, and it's reasonable. I mean, sometimes you're not in a position. You know, just says, look, there's a lot of friends, there's a lot of people out there who are not from people out there. We need to go to every guy and start telling him to keep the Torah. I mean, you're not in a position to influence them. So, I mean, you have to know what's reasonable. There's such a thing as a guy is beyond your scope of being able to have any impact on. Just throw rocks at people and yell, Shabbos, 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 it's not going to do anything. So, I mean, you have to know what's reasonable. So, oftentimes, it's just, there's no point. What are you going to do? You know, you spend your whole life on trying to convince people who are totally beyond out of the scope. You know, so you have to kind of use your sense. Who's within reach and what's the way to reach them? But if you think something is within your reach but you just kind of don't want to do it, or you don't want the confrontation, then that's bad. Or you want a friend. I mean, look, I don't think that you can't just value a friendship. Just, you know, friendship is no tachos whatsoever. You know, he lives his life of Kairos, and you live your life of whatever, and unless you think that's what's necessary for him, and in the long run you'll be able to get him that way. If that's, there could be this such a calculation like that. Like a guy now, right now, needs a good friend. You know, a guy's going through a hard time, he needs a good friend, and after things settle down, he'll be able to get him. But right now, a guy, this is a thing, as a guy is in a tough state, now for me to go after him, it's not going to work. But if I wait, if I befriend him, and I'll be able to build up a kind of a relationship, then maybe in a few months I'll be able to be in a better position to be able to influence him. I mean, that's, I think, true. Huh?
Yeah, what about situation?
What's that?
It sounds like you're talking about like a guy who's going off the deep end, but it's a situation in particular. Meaning, isn't that what we said before?
Particular chayim. Well, I guess it depends on the thing. If you notice, for instance, a particular midah or a particular thing that a guy is slipping up on, you know, you could say, let's say a guy talks Lashon Hara a lot or something, I don't know. You know, and you notice that he's basically, you know, he's a good guy just for whatever reason. He's just not vigilant about that kind of thing. And maybe you could, like an intervention, you could kind of say, you know, just point it out to him and somehow just bring it to his consciousness. They'll be a little more careful about it. Something like that. I don't know. It's like a little tricky because these things often come off as like a confrontation and a fight and who are you to tell me? And, you know, it's not so easy. But in theory, you could just notice something. You know, you notice flaws in somebody else that you don't he doesn't necessarily notice. So, in theory, you can be mechiyach a guy like that. Like a good friend, in theory, you should be able to do something like that. But it's tricky. I mean, sometimes these things don't, you know. You have to have a proper mekabel. Person, you know, you have to have a proper nosin and a proper mekabel. Yeah. Good? Further questions?